Well, this morning, as we continue on in the book of Colossians, and again, the theme of the book of Colossians is what? Now, everybody all together, now that you know what the answer is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Do you understand that the church from its inception has been under attack by both well-meaning people and those who purposely mean to harm it? The transition from a legalistic relationship with God into a relationship that was based upon grace has been a hard-fought battle even to this day. We're always in search of some measured success of our walk with God, aren't we? That's why a lot of people like rules and regulations. They like something to be able to measure themselves up against so they can get a feel for how right they are living with God. It's no wonder why in the Colossian church, as well as in Mountain Valley Church of God and so many other churches around, that we've got to be on guard not to transition back into a legalistic philosophy versus a loving relationship for life. Amen? And honestly, folks, aren't there so many things that are vying for our attention? I mean, if we think back to what it was like in the day that Paul was writing this letter to the early Colossian church, a very beginning church, one that didn't have, as I've said before, the Bible that you and I have. They didn't have anything in a leather bound or even in a paperback. They just had some scrolls or they had some different letters. They had some different teachers that had maybe been a part of Jesus' ministry on this earth, and they were trying to retell the teachings of Jesus. And they did that through the Spirit of God. There were different times. And yet there were times much like ours, and that there were other things that vied for their attention. Now, the things that vie for our attention today are far more numerous, I would guess, than the people back in Paul's day. And yet, the attentions were still being drawn away from the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Why is it so necessary for us to know the truth of God's Word? Because there are so many things out there that will mix in just a little bit of truth of God's Word, but then they want you into other things as well, and they think that it'll all just meld together in this wonderful batch of dough and rise up to be a tasty little cake that we can all nibble on, and it's not. People, we've got to know the truth of God's Word so that we know that we are chewing on the real truth, not polluted with the beliefs and the philosophies of this world. And that's exactly what Paul is writing to the church in Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 to 15 this morning. And the title of today's message is Stars, Scars, and Life. Stars, Scars, and Life. And why? Well, because there were all sorts of philosophies going around in Paul's day as well as in ours that they worshiped the stars. I mean, after all, they didn't have television and 104 prime TV stations that you can't ever find anything on anyway. Right?
Unless, of course, you get ESPN Sports. But
then there you go. Hey, how about our Rattlers, huh? Arizona Rattlers, three-peat, world champions in the arena football again as of last night. Yeah, there you go. Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies. Come on, you can read with me out loud. And high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to a new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. As in Paul's day, so in today. There is a lot of polluted thinking and philosophies and training up in religious ways that are not necessarily the ways of the Lord. And we've got to study God's Word to know the ways of the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, how could I possibly know what the ways of the Lord are? I mean, after all, he lived 2,000 years ago. What about today? How can I know that? Well, study the first four Gospels of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you will study the life of Jesus while he was here on this earth and the things that he did, the things he did to escape when things were coming in on him too much. What did he do? What did Jesus do when things started getting a little too hectic? He went out to pray, exactly, to seek his Father's wisdom, to get away from all the mess. You know, boy, sometimes we just try to plow through in life, don't we? And are we really taking time to seriously sit down with the Lord and say, Lord, you designed this life in the first place. What do you want to do about it? How do you want me to live it? Because after all, you created me. And yeah, I've made some choices in my life all throughout, and I hope some of them have been according to your plan. But Lord, even if they haven't been, let me live them for your glory. How much time do you spend alone with God? You see, the Son thought it was quite necessary. Because we are in a battle, people. We are in a battle in this world. Is this world for or against God? Yeah. I mean, they've already kicked him out of the school. They're now trying to kick him out of our legislature or our judicial system or whatever they can do. They're trying to take it off of our money, right? They want to take those words, in God we trust, off there. They want to rewrite the history of America and say, well, there were just a few Christian zealots that were in a certain part, a pocket of America, but not everybody felt that way. No, people, no. Let us not forget our Christian heritage of what America was based on. America was based upon people seeking religious freedom to worship God. They wanted that Eden-like beginning again. Not about all the religiosity of a church and people standing before them and saying, you've got to worship this way. You've got to do it our way or you're just not a part of it. You know what Christianity says? Christianity says, be in such a loving relationship with God that you will not walk around in error. Love him. Crave him. Crave more and more knowledge about him than you do about this world and how it's going to work. Because honestly, The things of this world are run by who? Yeah, let's hear some man bashing going on right now. Come on. Yeah. And women. I'll just throw that in. It's run by humans. There's a lot of human systems going on. Amen? And it doesn't matter the color of the skin. There's one race. It's called human. Amen? I hate all the things that are going on in our country right now. And all the racism that's trying to come to the forefront. We need to get back to the fact that every life is valuable to God. And it doesn't matter what's on the outside. It's about the love that's on the inside. Amen? We need to treat each other the same, equally, and with the love of the Lord. That's what brings a lot of the scars in life around to us, is that some people will like us, some people won't, and those that don't will speak harshly of us, and we get our feelers hurt, right? And some people have said some things that have really scarred us in life. But that's not the kind of scarring that the passage is talking about here. You see, there were Jewish beliefs that were part of the legal system because it was, after all, a part of Abraham's teaching that all the males should be circumcised, and then you would know that you are a child of God, right? It's funny how we can use things for good in that circumstance, but we can also use them for bad. Remember in the Old Testament, there was a story about the army that was coming, and that they said, we need to circumcise all the males. And so they did. And then the Israelites marched against them, knowing that they were in such pain that they overtook them. We take that which was supposed to be sacred, and we use it for an unholy purpose. People, Jesus said it's not the circumcision of your body that matters. It's the circumcision of your heart. Is your heart really all for God, or is it not? You're either all in or you're all out. That's the only choices that there really are. You know, you can't just be partially in. You've got to be all in with God, or you're out. Some people think that it's going to be the hokey pokey type of heaven. You get your left foot in, you get your left foot out. And you think that there's only going to be parts of you that, well, this part acted right, so God, you'll accept this part. No, God wants to accept you as a whole being into heaven. But how can he do that? If there are parts of your body that you're giving to the unclean things of this world. He can't. We're called to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation belonging to a holy God. We're to give all of ourselves to him. You see, there were two different thoughts here that were invading the Colossian church, and today they have a different name, but back then there were the Gnostics and the Hellenists. They brought false teaching in Paul's day. Today, we battle humanism or spiritism and New Age. New Age movement. We battle humanism and New Age. What is humanism? What is spiritism? Well, it means that we are such supreme beings. And we are in God's eyes. He did create us greater than the beasts of the field, and we are to rule and reign over them. In fact, we're going to have to give an account to God for how well we took care of this earth that he gifted to all of us. And each and every one of us are going to be called into account for how we manage that which God has given unto us. Amen? Not all of us are going to be in those positions where we can govern over the decisions of more and more people. But we can take care of what we have been given and make sure that we are good stewards of that which God has given us. Humanism is the empowerment of the human being saying that, oh, well, you are like God, and you can find the Spirit of God anywhere. Oh, go embrace a tree because the Spirit of God lives in the tree. Or go and embrace a rock because a rock. Or submerge yourself in this creek and just feel the Spirit of God just run over you. Wrong, wrong, wrong. There is only one Holy Spirit, and that is of God. It is not of the nature that He created. It is which emanates from God Himself and the truth of God's Word being within you. That's the only Spirit that's supposed to be within you. Amen? I'm not saying that you can't experience God wherever you go. You truly can. But folks, we are made for community. You are made to have a church experience. There are things that we do in church that you cannot do alone sitting there watching a TV. You have to experience church together. It's how you build each other up in faith. It's how we challenge each other in the knowledge that we know of God's Word. Not to go,
hey, I'm better than you. I can quote more scriptures than you can.
No. It's rather, how can I strengthen and build my brother and sister up in the Word of truth? And when they are in error, that I lovingly go to them and I confront them and say, you know what? This is what the truth of God's Word says. This is not my opinion. This is what God's Word says. How is your life measuring up, not to my opinion, but to what God says? Are you being the holy person, the holy priesthood that His Word asks you to be? You see, isn't it great? And women, I better hear a big amen from you. Isn't it great that it's no longer just men who are able to come into the throne room of God and meet with Him? That as Joel predicted, that in the last days, God would allow His Holy Spirit to be in all. Slave, free, rich, poor, male, female, older, younger. The Holy Spirit fills each and every person that declares Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. Amen? 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 says, do not waste your time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. You see, anytime anyone has you concentrating on a specific method for purity, for true worship of God, pointing you to a religious practice versus a true loving relationship with a God who cares enough about you to send His only Son to die for your sins. If they want you to believe in a certain religious system versus having a loving relationship with God, run, do not walk away. And do not entertain the idea of trying to reason with them. They are set in religiosity and in methods and methodology. And God says what? I so loved the world that I did what? Gave my Son. That what? Whoever believes what? Will have everlasting life. And then what's the charge back to us? Well, if God so loves us, what do you think he's expecting from us? Love. Love. And not a polluted love of, well, I really like my new car. I really love my new car. Or I love my puppy. I love my poppies. And my poppies love me. No, it's not puppy love. It's an all-out love for God. That you leave nothing in the tank saying, well, I'll love him with every part of my life, except this part. This is my secret little place that I go and hide. This is a secret little place that I'll go and be a different person. No, God wants you to be real with him no matter where you're at. Amen? And raise him up. Your next point is, some believe the more you train the body, the more holy you will be. Some believe the more you train the body, the more holy you will be. Look at verses 9 to 11. Paul talks about this. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in human body. So you also are what? Wow, two of you got it. Anybody else reading this? Verse 10. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not with a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, cutting away of your sinful nature. Who's our worst enemy? Right? It's that sinful nature within us. It's kind of our default setting as a human being, right? Man, and Paul talks about this in Romans. Man, the good things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. Oh, what a complicated and complex man I am. Why can't I just set my heart and my mind on just doing the things that I know is right and not look back, not be tempted anymore? Why, Lord, why am I being tempted? Well, James kind of answers that for us in James chapter 1. He says what? The testing of your faith, what does it do for us? It develops us, right? So we have to keep making these decisions each and every moment, each and every day. I am going to follow after the Lord. I know that you made that commitment one time. You came down to the altar and you said, you know what, Lord, just like we sang about this morning, Jesus, I love you. And there's nothing else more for me than you. We even go as far as be baptized. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The baptism being a form of your body dying and your nature dying and being raised to life. Life in the Spirit. In fact, we haven't had a good baptism here in a long time. So if you'd like to volunteer, I'd be more than happy to baptize you, to dedicate your life completely to God. And to look back on that experience and know that at that point in time, you joined in with Christ. That your life, you declared to the witnesses that saw you go through this ceremony, that my life is dedicated completely to God. Amen? You see, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 on your outline. Read that with me, please. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. You see, the Jews were fixated on the thought that A man must be physically circumcised to be holy before God. But Paul is teaching that a man must be spiritually circumcised from the sinful nature. And that is what makes you holy. Matthew chapter 15, verses 17 and 18. And Jesus is being confronted about, you know, what his disciples are eating. And Jesus answers those who are questioning what his disciples are eating with this teaching. He says, "Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile a man." You see, it's not what goes into our mouth that defiles us. It's what comes out of our mouths that defiles us. It's the lies that we tell. It's maybe not being completely truthful in a matter. It's maybe some language that we're dealing with. My dad tried to help me out with that when I was a young man, because he heard me use some language that rather perturbed him. And rather than do to me what he normally would, which that soap tasted really bad, he just challenged me with this thought. He goes, "Don," he goes, "you know, people that use cursing are people who have a limited education, because their language is very small. And they have to use expletives to fill in the blanks. Don't be like them." I said, "Okay, Dad, I'll try that." "Don't you understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is gone? But the things that proceed from your mouth come from the heart. Those defile the man." Have you ever been in one of those moments where all of a sudden life just happens at you? I remember I owned a 1968 Triumph TR6. GT6. It looked like a little shrunken down 240Z that Nissan used to put out, except it was a little bit smaller, but it had this V6 engine in it. Boy, could that thing go. The clutch part, something in the clutch broke. It was a steel spring. Steel springs aren't supposed to break, but it did. I went, figures. I finally got it fixed after it sitting in a garage for 2 months. And it wasn't because the part wasn't available. The part was sitting in the dock in New York City. But back at the time that I owned this, there was a gas shortage, oil shortage going on. And so the ship that had brought the parts over from England, they were waiting for the guarantee of fuel to get back to England, and wouldn't release any of the parts. So being a little bit frustrated, I went to my father, who is a machinist for over 30 years. I said, "Dad, I really want my car back." And he says, "Okay." So we went down to the repair shop. And he asked the mechanic, what does this part look like? And so the guy brought out the old part. And he says, "This is all it is." And my dad goes, "Could we take a hacksaw blade maybe, put a couple of welds on it, put a hole in here, and use that?" And the mechanic looked at him and went, "It'd probably be just as good, if not better, than the part you're getting." My dad looked at me, looked at the mechanic, he says, "It's done." And in 2 days, I had my car back. I was like, "Yeah, praise God. I got my zippy little car back. I'm with my buddy." And we're driving down Bethany Home Road, four-lane road. I'm on the inside lane. Left lane is stopped, and I don't know why, but I'm going down the right lane, and I'm just starting to get through the gears and move up, and all of a sudden, the station wagon makes a left turn right in front of me. And I lay on the brakes. And what do you think came out of my mouth? Oh, yeah. My car was toasted again. I'd only had it for an hour. I think God was teaching me not to love this car. But I got it fixed anyway. And I started dating my wife. And to date my wife, I also had to date her young children, who were 3 and 5 at the time. And I remember going out on an outing, and it was a little fastback thing. And I opened up the fastback, and I go, well, I don't have any back seats, kids. So this is it. They both scrunched in the back, and I put the fastback down, and my daughter's going, oh, wow. I go, I really love your mom. Trust me. I had to get rid of that when we got married. I don't know. The kids kind of demanded a back seat kind of a thing, even though they were only 4 and 6. That's why I'm such a great grandfather at such a young age. Uh-huh. But the things that come out of our mouth, and I was just surprised. I was so surprised at what came out of my mouth. And yet at the same time, I sat there pounding the wheel going, why? Why? It's moments like that that all of a sudden, you know, we're tested. What's really in our hearts? And that's what I just repented. I was like, God, why did that come out of my mouth? That's not the kind of person I am. And I felt like I really let God down in that moment. But you know what? His grace is sufficient for all my needs. Amen? And he's sufficient for all your needs as well. But what does he need? He needs a heart of repentance. The last point. In Christ, we are invited into a forever life. A forever life. Verses 12 and 13 from our passage. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, and he forgave all our sins. Praise be to God. Amen? And he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Amen? In this way, God disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Later in another book, in Ephesians, Paul writes to us about this spiritual armor that we're supposed to don ourselves with, that we're supposed to put on. Why? Because he understood, and you've got to understand, that as a Christian, as one who declares Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are going to be under attack by this world, by other human beings that do not believe the same way that you believe, but also by some very dark powers instructed by Satan to destroy anyone who believes or declares Jesus Christ to be Lord of their lives. You see, there are many times to know just how closely that you're walking with God. You can tell it by the heaviness of the attacks that are coming upon you. And our reaction is not to cave into that, but rather to cave ourselves into the power of God. Amen? Because what does it say here that God did? He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He publicly ashamed them by victory over and on the cross. Amen? Mark chapter 8, verse 35 says, "If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it." John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." That's Jesus speaking. You know, there are only two things mentioned in the Bible that last for an eternity: an unquenchable fire for those who disobey and do not repent from their sins, and the heavenly permanence promised to all who will believe in Jesus Christ as Lord. What's your choice this morning? Because as crazy as it all is, God never forces His way on any of us. He stands at the door knocking, asking to come in. Will you give your life to Him today? Never to turn back, but to be sold out completely for Him. Loving Heavenly Father, You gave us such a gift of love in Your Son, Jesus Christ. But also in that act of nailing Your Son to the cross, You nailed all the charges that would ever be brought up against us in our sin. And You gave us victory in Jesus. May we have the boldness to walk in the strength and the power of that name, that henceforth, from this day forward, we might be called Christians, Christ followers. Lord, there are some things that I've done. There are some things that we've done collectively that have not been pretty, that have not been about You. We ask You, Lord, to please not only forgive us, but when we are tempted to walk down that same road, to inflict us with the power of Your Holy Spirit to say no to the things that were of the past and to say yes to Your mighty power. Lord God, do a work in us today and every day as we submit ourselves to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I heard an old story. Help me out. Victory in Jesus? I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory. Right? He gave His life. And His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins. And I won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Forever He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Victory is Yours. Will You take it? God bless you all. Thank you.